We are so grateful to our God. There are just no words to express what we feel when we get still and reflect. What a privilege was given to us. It's not an arrogance, no exaggerating. It is true. God has spoken to us. He has revealed His word and will to us. Also here, He helped us that we place the ministry of a prophet in our days in a perfect balance. We don't come here and say, Paul said, and Peter says, or Branham says, we come here and we open up the holy word of God and let the same God speak to us who spoke through the prophets, who sent the apostles, who through the Old and New Testament speaks even today to us. We are grateful for that we recognized that the Lord promised for our time a prophet who would turn the hearts of the children of God back to the heart of their fathers. And after all it's written, God spoke to the fathers at sundry times and in diverse manners. Beloved, it was Brother Kramer who just now said, Brother Frank, I'm so grateful because when I was still very young, the parson said to me, when we don't take the Old Testament anymore, then also the New Testament will soon be lost to us. Something like that you said, Brother Kramer. And that's how it is. We have both the Old and the New Testament. We have the announcements, the prophecy, the promises, and then their fulfillment and the experiencing of that what God promised. Also for this, we are very grateful to the Lord. He has really sent Brother Branham, like He sent in Moses or in Elijah, with a very special commission. But no one may expect from us that we stand here and say, Elijah said. No one here on earth should think we are that stupid. We proclaim the whole counsel of our God. And we don't have the spirit of idolatry that we would glorify a prophet or the sons of the prophet. We glorify the God of all the prophets. And this is the living God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The true and only God. And here we see already, as mentioned just now, that we don't have the spirit of idolatry, but the spirit of God, who makes no difference, who does not discriminate here and prefer there, who does not take something here and leave something there, but the spirit of God takes the whole word and puts it together, and it results in a harmonious whole. And also this we experienced at this place, year in, year out. I have, some days ago, what happens very seldom, I heard a sermon that I preached myself at a convention in Prince Albert in the year 72. And I thought, just hear once what you preached at that time. Beloved, it could have been a sermon of yesterday or today. I was surprised myself and I said, Lord, I can't quite grasp that myself, that the things were already there right from the start and are now further developed and we see today clearer as we have seen back then. But the overall message and the direction was correct right from the beginning. We didn't have to change course once. Also, this is a very great grace with God. So many have set sail and then it went in a different direction. And then they ran out of steam and then came the next sail and then it went into this direction. And then again they ran out of steam and then came the next horse before the next wagon. No, God has always only one direction. And also this I want to tell you clearly. It is not the merit of a man. Also this Brother Kramer said just now. If Joseph hadn't proved himself faithful, he could not have given out the food. But who kept him faithful? It was God who ordained him for it. And so there is no man who could glory. If God would not have kept us within the limits of the word, if he would not have given us the direct connection to his word, then we also would have been tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It was only the Lord who kept us, and he will continue to keep us until the end. I just know it, for he who started is strong enough to carry it out, and this in great power and glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Great things God has already done on us, and even greater things he will still do. But holding on in lining up with the word, always going with, always saying yes, and to become more grateful than we were until now. To believe more, having a positive attitude to God and his word. Stop complaining. Take the harps from the trees. The Lord returns to Zion, and we may again rejoice in our God. Our God has thoughts of peace and love toward us. The enemy wants always to disturb. He says, "Will you make it?" and so forth. And you are not good enough. You have still weaknesses. You have infirmities. And you also did this. He who hearkens to the enemy will never get happy in life. But he who gives thanks to the Lord praises him. And then the Lord becomes our strength. We must make our decision what we want. When we want to mope and want to hear what the enemy whispers to us and then resign and go sad our way, this would be one possibility, but not the right one. No, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say unto you, rejoice. That's how it is written in the letter to the Philippians. Also Paul had to go through many things. He got beaten up. He suffered shipwreck. You can all read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And yet the Lord was his strength. He has put his hope in the Almighty God. I'm just so grateful, so overwhelmed, and I tell you also why. Here is no great man who would have shown us something, or would have said or taught. But the great God was gracious to us. He has taken that what is nothing in the world to do something in his kingdom, and to it you belonged, and also I. We are a nothing. Only God could make something out of us. Praise be to his wonderful name. Here we were all singing, O soul that is bowed down by the sorrows of the earth and the burden, lift up your heart and head. In that city shall be peace and joy and eternal glory. for him who believes. It depends on the faith. On what faith? On the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Not on some kind of faith, but on the one faith of which Abraham already knew, and as it is written, Abraham believed God, and that was accounted unto him for righteousness. There is but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And when we have found this one Lord and confess the one biblical baptism, then there's only one biblical faith left unto us. The faith in the living God, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. For some hidden, to the others revealed. This one faith, anchored in the Word of God, grounded in the promises, this faith worked in us. This is it, what matters, and this alone counts. Therefore Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture says. If one goes today through the Christian and other countries and asks, do you believe? Then they all believe. Everyone believes something. This is not the faith of which the Holy Scripture speaks. The faith of which God speaks, this is a substance worked by the Spirit and Word in us, a divine substance. By the way, that's how it is written in the English translation, in Hebrews chapter 11. The faith is a substance of that what one hopes and is not seen yet. So faith looks at the promises of God as if they would exist already, as if they would have become already divine reality. John, on the Isle of Patmos, he has seen many things, also the holy city, of which we have sung. Let me read it to you from Revelation 21. Revelation 21 from verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. You can read on. What a wonderful description. What a day that will be when we enter there, as a hymn goes, when we walk on the streets of gold, dear heart, who can grasp it? It will be reality. Our Lord promised it to us before He left this earth and said, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But it is so. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We have a living hope in our soul. And also for this, we are very grateful. Here on earth is still death. Only those who at the direct return of the Lord are still alive and remain, they will not see the natural death anymore, but they will be changed, and together with them who rose first, they will be raptured and meet the Lord in the air. But until that point of time, until that moment, some brother and some sister will go home if the Lord would not come already without delay and immediately. It is so nice that also those who count with a direct return of the Lord, and this daily counting with it, or at any time counting with it, who yet remain clear and sober until the Lord comes. After all, we shall work until He comes. And because we don't know when He comes, we can still make plans with that, or in reference to that, what shall still be done in the kingdom of God. And if the Lord comes before that, all right, then it's also okay. Then His plan has come to its completion. But as I said, in the meantime is still sorrow, there are still tears, there is still affliction. We think here on some who are right upon our hearts, like Sister Kaufmann in particular, the sister of Brother Kupfer, and on some others who have to go through sickness, through trials. On one hand, holding fast to the word, by His stripes I am healed. On the other hand, when a certain age comes and the members of our body are stricken with sickness and death finds a cause to probably take us over, then it was like this with all the prophets and all the apostles and men of God. When the hour came, also they had to go, but they went with a living hope to have part in the first resurrection. With this hope they left this earth, and they will be part of it when the Lord returns. For they do not die. A person who has eternal life, he just goes from time into eternity. Jesus said then, He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. We live throughout eternity. When Lazarus died, our Lord said, He just sleeps. I go to wake him up. It's just a sleeping, a saying goodbye on earth, a falling asleep here and a waking up there. Hallelujah. Praise God. No believer needs to be afraid of death. The Lord conquered death. He conquered hell. And he cleared the way for us to go up. He said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in the last verses, "From now on ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What was it? It was about that the heaven is open. Stephen saw heaven open, and he saw Jesus as Son of Man. Also, this is important to read this there. As Son of Man, at the right hand of the Majesty of God. We cannot go now into these details, for you all know that he, until the completion of the church, he has to remain high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. For he, as the high priest, he entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. He remains our advocate until we, as the overall church, come to perfection. And therefore, also the Son title, "Until the End." And then it's written so nicely in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, "Then also the Son will be subject unto the Father, and then God will be all in all, as it was determined by God." So the circle will be closed again, and the completion in all the redeemed will take place. We will then appear as full-bred sons and daughters of God. And then there will be no more the title Father and Son, but then will be again God all in all, as it was from eternity. So the revelation of God in Christ will merge again in God, after the whole purpose of the divine revelation in Christ as man has been accomplished. Did we all get it? Maybe I read it to you, that you know that it is written. It is just impossible to put this into words, for this there are no words. A man who wants to describe the revelations of God, he doesn't find the right words. It is just too mighty. One just cannot. One can only try it. I read in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, from verse 23. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, from verse 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." Do you read with me? "They that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. Praise God. Then, as it said, then the manifestation of God in the Son and the establishing of the Sonship has accomplished its purpose. Why is it written, He has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, so that you can cry out, Abba, Father, we have become sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, He, the firstborn among many brethren, and yet the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Who can explain it? No man. It's also not necessary. It's enough when we believe it. In Ephesians chapter 2, wonderful things were read to us. I don't want to repeat everything, only verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Even that, what we do and what will stand its ground before God, this not you and I did, God has already prepared it for us. God has placed and laid everything that it only needs to be carried out by us. And then there is no one who needs to get honor or glory, but he who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. Just think of Brother Branham, as one can see it in the film, so helpless, like he, no evangelist stood there. When one has seen the evangelists, and I've seen almost all of them and heard them, they never ran out of steam. Sometimes one didn't know when they breathe or take a breath, for they spoke like a machine gun. You didn't even notice when they reloaded. You really thought that they had an endless bullet cartridge and they just keep on shooting. They were never embarrassed. Everything was functioning well. Everything went smooth. They were never embarrassed on the platform. But there was one man. This was a true man of God, a prophet with a fear of God in his heart. He suddenly stood there helpless and says, I'm just like every one of you. Without him, I can do nothing. Did not our Lord say this? He said, without me, ye can do nothing. One day, I read an article of a parson who was a believer, and his heart began to beat. And then he wrote like a poet, Lord, we have taken everything into our hands. We have chosen this profession without you. We preached without you. We did all actions without you. And he always wrote, without you, and without you. And in the end, he then came to the point and said, Lord, permit me that I, from now on, no more without you, but that I will do with you all things in the right way, what I did without you in the wrong way. And this is all our way. That is our experience. Without the Lord, we did everything wrong. With the Lord, we can only do everything right. For he has prepared for us in advance the works to be done, so that we can walk in them. One more word from the prophet Isaiah. I cannot do otherwise. I always have to go back into the Old Testament. It gives us the orientation. It shows us the way of God, the way of salvation, which we then find in the new, in its realization. Isaiah 45, a very wonderful word. In verse 11, Isaiah 45, from verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Here he doesn't speak anymore to servants and maids. Here he speaks to his sons in view of that the son relationship, the relationship to child between God and mankind in Christ was established. Concerning the things to come, ask me, my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. It is today upon my heart that we lay the work of God back into the hands of God and say, Lord, we cannot do it. We don't know how and not when and not where. Lord, we commit ourselves and your work to you. We lay ourselves and your work into thine hands. Lord, do with us what you like. Is this your wish? Is this your prayer? It is my wish and my prayer that we lay his work back into his hands. How often it was taken out of his hands. Every evangelist and every direction ran the work of God in its own way. The time of God is here to commit his work unto him, to leave it unto him consciously and say, Lord, we are here to let you be at work. We are here to hear your word. We are here to have a new experience with you. We lay your word, your work, your people, ourselves, the whole kingdom of God, we lay it into your hands and commit it unto you. And you already know what the answer is. He will make it well and bring it to pass in a wonderful way unto the day of his return. He didn't say that some prophet or apostle will bring it to pass. No, as we said many times, there are some things which the Lord himself does. When he sends a word, then he sends his servants and prophets at all times. When it was about redemption, then he came himself. He became our Redeemer. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He gave the Great Commission. He alone can save. He alone can heal. He alone can deliver. His work, may it be a new and consciously committed to him. He who started will also finish. When it is about the preparing of the way, about the message of the hour, then he sends a prophet to put the word of prophecy upon the lampstand. But then, when the completion comes, then he himself will return with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He who builds his church completes her and will then return to take her home. There are people who want to be taken home by a prophet. I cannot say it like this. I want to be taken home by my Lord. Let him be the first whom I will see when I'm taken from this earth. And I tell you already now, although we will then be translated together and being laid together, and when we will be taken up together majestically and see one another, we will see then each other, will yet each one of us will have a desire to see Jesus. All the eyes of them who will be taken up, they are not directed to the left and right. They are directed to the front, upward. We would like to see Jesus. And after we have seen him, then we of course will see all our beloved, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, all the prophets we will then see. And of course, also our beloved brother Branham. I don't want to be misunderstood here. We wouldn't have an up-to-date divine message today if God would not have sent this humble prophet to open our eyes and hearts so that we know what has to happen in the kingdom of God. And for this we are grateful with all our hearts. But I have understood this already in the natural. One doesn't stop at the signpost. One goes on until the destination. Many remain standing at a signpost. And men of God can be used by God as a signpost, as a preparer of the way. But we don't remain standing at the signpost. We see where we were pointed to. The destination is before our eyes, and we walk forward by the power of God, by the power of the spiritual food which we received. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Also here is a world of difference. Some organize the dance around the golden calf, and that be far from us. When Moses back then was taken upon the mount and didn't come back for 40 days and 40 nights, it happened in no time. Music and a good mood was in the camp. They danced and rejoiced. But when the prophet came down and saw what was going on, then he hit it with a hammer. And he smashed this idol, this calf, into pieces and made an end to this thing. God doesn't send a prophet that we commit idolatry. God sends a prophet to take the spirit of idolatry out of us and to connect us with God by the Holy Word that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then we have the Spirit that is of God and recognize what was given to us by God. Some would like to know in which hand the prophet was holding the fork, whether he held it backwards like the Englishman or the other way around like other Europeans. Some would like to know this and that, whether he slept on the back or on the side. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm only interested in one, namely the Holy Word of God, with which he was commissioned, the message of the hour, and this we received, and we got it revealed by the Holy Spirit. I also don't know whether John the Baptist slept on his back or on the side. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in that what God does. But you know very well that all these things are among the people. And then one notices in no time, these people did not understand at all what it is about. They have the spirit of idolatry in them. And they would, if the prophet would come, they would really kiss his feet. And then they could straight away go to Rome, because there is the statue of Peter. And there, from morning until evening, the feet of the statue is kissed. I watched it. Everyone knows it, where that thing stands and where this idolatry is committed. No, let me say it very clearly. God has led us out from all confusion, from every following of a man. And here is no one who follows a Brother Branham or a Brother Frank. Here are only followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all the others can stay at home. We don't need the spirit of idolatry. We need the Spirit of God, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals unto us not the taking apart of the life of a prophet, but the word that God lets go forth from him, right or not. And then we are brought up to date in the kingdom of God. Recently, I was asked whether I would not participate when the son of the prophet would come. This would be a special thing and so forth. Sons of the prophet or not, to us matters the God of the prophets, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Samuel was such a great prophet, and he had to announce to Eli, namely the judgment upon his sons. And when the great prophet Samuel grew old, the elders of Israel came to him and said, Samuel, your sons do not walk in the ways of God. A great prophet, he was sad. He couldn't change anything about it. The following of Jesus Christ is independent of reputation, rank and name. The dependency is to be met personally by you alone. Namely, to establish a relationship between you and God. We are not here to establish a relationship to a prophet. We are here to bring the overall testimony of the Holy Scripture, the whole prophetic and apostolic testimony, to bring it to the people of God and thus bring the people into fellowship with God. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. Today, I want to say with all my heart, Thy work we lay into Your hands, and we lay ourselves to it upon Your altar, and we have only one request, have Thine own way with all of us. Do what You intended to do with the Church. We are at Your disposal. Without You, we can do nothing. Come, Lord, into our midst and finish Thy work shortly. In this way, we want to pray today and lay it before the Lord. I believe that I and all of us will feel better from that moment on. For we are struggling, we are worrying how it will be and so forth. If we could succeed together today to really commit everything into the hands of the Lord and say, bring it to pass. Can we dare this? Yes, we can say, Lord, the work of Thy hands be committed unto You. We don't know what You would like to do. You have a plan. It is ready and lays before You. How many believe that God has determined everything from the beginning to the end in His plan of salvation? Say Amen. 100%. God doesn't plan yesterday or today. The plan of God was made before time began, from eternity to eternity. Everything runs according to His plan. Also this time in which we live now, and that what has to take place now, is a firm part of God's plan of salvation with the Church. The return of Israel, a firm part of God's plan of salvation for the end time. For God had given the promises already in advance. We could mention here many of them and point to them and speak about it. God has made a plan. We have that one brochure with a title, God's Plan with Humanity. And we always touch only one point here and one point there. How great and wonderful are Thy works, Lord Almighty God, Thou King of the nations. Don't you see how everything also to us becomes clearer and greater? That we get a more intimate relationship to the Word that was preached to us, to the divine message, that everything becomes clearer and clearer to us. All of us, we came to an end with our own works, and we rest in God to let Him work. He is not late. Certainly, as always, He will also now use people, but then as He likes. I would like to experience the day, really fully and directly experiencing it, when God designs the program. You also, where God designs the program. When we come together and the leading of the Spirit would so directly, so mighty be upon the whole meeting, that all would be under the control of the Lord, under the leading of the Spirit, that God could distribute, that He could bless, that God could use, yes, that He could reveal Himself after His will. With Him, all things are possible? Are we willing to really lay our will into the will of God? I would be willing today to totally quit if I would not know that that what is happening now is a preparation, a getting ready for that what God will still do. Then I would quit today. But I know exactly that in the time of the spiritual famine, God has taken care for that the food can be given out, the Word of God made alive and revealed, freshly revealed for our time. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And God always puts that word upon the lampstand that is due in the appointed time, so that it takes place and is fulfilled. So we live in these days of that word of God that came forth from the mouth of God. Our faith is anchored in the promises which God has given for this time. For a general faith, all the people have. But this biblical faith has only the true church of the living God. Only those who hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. It is a big difference to stand in the front and to just read the verse from Matthew. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Or to sit in a meeting where one directly feels, here the word comes fresh from the mouth of God. Although it is already written, it becomes very alive, totally new, being put upon the lampstand. We see, we hear, and we experience. And this is the big difference. Reading what is written, everybody can do. But the word that then comes forth fresh from the throne and is made alive, being emphasized and being put upon the lampstand. Only those can see it who themselves are part of the golden lampstand, that means to the church of the living God. For our Lord doesn't walk somewhere in Babylon, but amidst the seven golden candlesticks. And if one looks today into the churches, everyone knows what is preached on every Sunday according to Trinity Sunday. The program is defined for the whole year. And that's how it goes, year in, year out. But it is the will of God that we, at the right time, get to hear the right word. And God lets us know it before it happens, that the expectation for the fulfillment becomes great in us, and that we have a longing for it, to experience the promises very personally. The Lord really knocks at every door, and all who hear His voice and open, to them He enters and sups with them. I'm not judging, but today I could no more sit somewhere where the Sunday service runs after a pattern and where only a program is played after the manner of men. We should give God more thanks, for the lot has fallen unto us in a wonderful way. I dare to say that God has revealed unto us His word and His will. This is no arrogance, but out of a thankful heart we may testify of it, and I hope that all understand it rightly. Our prayer is that still many come to the knowledge of the truth. My sons, the work of mine hands, let it be committed unto me. For I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host have I commanded. It is Him and no one else. He is God. Besides Him, there is no other. Him we trust that He will finish His work in great power and glory. I know over us the Spirit of God has encamped. It is a glorious atmosphere. I know the Word has accomplished for what it was sent for. And I know that it penetrated deeper than ever. There was never a time in which God's Word accomplished so much as right now. Remember the verse from Psalms 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us give Him the glory. The glory for it, that we have recognized the day of His gracious visitation, recognizing the time and the message, and that we accepted it. We walk in the light that God has given us through His revealed Word. And His Word, the Word of prophecy, shines as a bright light in a dark place. No one needs to remain in the dark anymore. He can have the light of life, the Word of life, the light of life. He, the Prince of life, has given us everything. To Him be the glory throughout all eternity. Amen. Let us stand up. Today we want to thank the Lord together and rededicate unto Him the pulpit, the platform, dedicating it with all our heart, not with criticism, but out of concern for the church, just to say, Lord, we are here. From this place, Your Word goes forth. Let everything be done in Your name, in Your Spirit, according to Thy will. One heart and one soul. At that time, they were in one accord. Today, we are gathered in one accord. We acknowledge that everyone walks his way with God. Let us give glory to Him with all our hearts. Are you all glad that God, so natural, so emphatic, and yet so mighty, speaks with all of us? Are you not glad about it? Was not the veil taken from our eyes? Amen. Brother Rus, please pray with all of us. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for this weekend. We thank You together for Your Word. We thank You together for the blessings which we could take from Your Word. What a grace it is that we may hear Your Word in all truth and clarity. You speak to us, Lord, as to Your people, to Your sons and daughters, Lord. You love us, Lord, and you are speaking in love to us. We thank you for it. We worship you. We praise your wonderful name, and we give you alone the glory. Not a man we want to glorify. To you alone be the glory, the praise and the worship, Lord. You did bless, and you will continue to bless, Lord. Worship to your wonderful name. Receive the praise. Receive the thanks, Lord. Lord, who shall do it if not we, Lord? Who we have heard your word? How should we not praise and honor you and exalt your name? We ask you also, Lord, for those who are sick, Lord. We lay them before you, Lord, and we pray, may you give them grace, Lord, and may you show yourself as the great physician and helper. You are still the same today. Praise and thanks, glory and worship be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen.